You have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1. And the last time we had an opportunity to gather, which was, 2 weeks ago now, we finished up really the introduction to the book of Amos and looking at the covenant, why the covenant was given, the purpose of the covenant, and things along those lines. But now, tonight, we are going to go a little deeper into chapter 1. And really, it goes into chapter 2. We're not going to get into chapter 2 tonight. But the section we're going to start covering tonight is really a much longer section of Scripture. It's from chapter 1, verse 3 to chapter 2. And verse 3. But that length of Scripture from verse number 3 to chapter 2 and verse number 3, it has within it really just one main theme, and that is that God will judge the nations. That God will judge the nations. Now, it's interesting because Amos, when you read Amos, you find out very quickly he wasn't talking to the nations. Even though the message is one of judgment, Amos isn't talking to the nations. He was talking to Israel. That's the only nation that he was talking to. He wasn't necessarily, for lack of a better term, worried about these other nations. He was worried about the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel, they were the nation that they were the ones in this covenant relationship with God. And so we need to keep that in mind as we look at these next two studies here in Amos chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. But you're there, Amos chapter 1, and notice, if you would, verses 3 through 10. Verses 3 through 10. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send the fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send the fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and ask him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkenaz, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and a remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyrus, and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof." And so this text that we're looking at tonight, and really even going on to through verse 11 through chapter 2 and verse 3, what we have is the explanation of sin of the 6 neighboring nations. And this morning, or tonight rather, we're just going to consider the wickedness of these first 3. Of Damascus, of Gaza, and of Tyrus. And as we look at these 3 nations, we notice very quickly some observations about these verses. Notice how all of these verses begin. Notice verse number 3 again, chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. And then verse number 6, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof. And then verse number 11, verse number 9, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof. And so we see here that each of these verses, as God begins to deal with these nations of Damascus, of Gaza, and of Tyrus, he says there, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because. And then he goes into the sin of each nation, what they are guilty of committing. If you go back up, notice verse number 2 of chapter 1. And Amos here says, and he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. And so we see God here, who we have already established, he's almighty, he's holy, he's righteous, he's just, and now he is coming in judgment. Because he is a God by his very nature, who is a God who cannot overlook sin. He is a God who cannot ignore sin. And these verses say here, for three transgressions and for four. And when you see that, what that is just very simply a literary technique that communicates for us just how guilty these nations are, just how guilty these nations were. Their sin toward other nations is obvious, and because of that, God is going to move in judgment. And we know that God will not ignore their sin because of what God says in verse number 3, in verse number 6, and in verse number 9. He says in all three of those verses, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. I will not turn away the punishment thereof. So you imagine tonight, if you would, that you're an Israelite. You're living in Israel. And you as an Israelite, you are surrounded by these other wicked nations of Damascus and Gaza and Tyrus. And you think of God, who is almighty and holy and just, and the fact that he doesn't overlook sin, and you begin to think, well, why on earth is that such a good thing? Or why on earth is that such a needful thing? And it is simply because the wickedness of these nations, it's impacted you. It's affected you. You know, we say often when we talk about sin that when you sin or when I sin, that sin it just doesn't affect you. It just doesn't affect me. It affects those around us. And so here we have Israel. They're in covenant relationship with God, but they are literally surrounded. If you remember the map we showed way back in the first week when we started this study, that they were literally surrounded by six wicked nations. And now they have this promise that God is going to come in and he is going to deal with this sin, and he is not going to overlook it, but he is going to judge it because he is holy and just and he is God. And it's a good thing because these nations have been, it's impacted Israel. It's affected Israel. Their sin has hurt them. Their sin has hurt Israel. And God is the only one who can hold these sinners accountable. And the truth is simply that they won't get away with sin. You think about tonight,
people in your life, people in my life, and you know, they sin, and it seems like they sin and nothing ever happens to them. Well, we have a promise from God here that He's not going to overlook it, that one day He is going to judge and take care of that sin. And, you know, especially when it's affecting us. And we're the ones that have to deal with it. We want something done about it. And we realize that God can do something about it. So I want us to see this evening just what the sin, the injustices, the crimes these nations were guilty of committed. Number one, we see Damascus. And notice there, if you would, verse number 3. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Why? Because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. You say, what was so bad about that? What was so wrong about that? Well, take your Bibles and go to 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter number 10. Second Kings chapter 10. And notice there, if you would, verses 32 and 33. Second Kings chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. The Bible says, in those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coast of Israel, from Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites, and the Rebunites, and the Manassites, from Aor, which is by the river Anorn, even Gilead and Bashan. And so we see here that these were barbaric actions that were taken to mutilate the Gileads. And so there in Amos, where it says that they were guilty of threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. In other words, they were guilty of just barbaric behavior toward the Gileads. And God said that because of that, you will be punished. And then Gaza, notice there if you would, verse number 6. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Why? Because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. Whole communities, men, women, boys, girls, children, were sold into slavery to Edom. But they weren't just sold into slavery, no. It was even worse than that, because not only were they sold into slavery, but they were abused when they were put into slavery. And then we see Tyrus, verse number 9. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyrus, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. Now that of this here may have to do with the sin of Gaza, the Philistines. Tyrus, they broke an agreement, and they helped wrongfully take this whole group of people into slavery and subjection. So here, this is what these three nations were guilty of. They were guilty of abuse and mutilation and barbaric behavior. Taking people and putting them into slavery and subjection and abuse. Now, the wickedness in these verses is not described for us in detail. It's not very graphic in its nature. It's not very graphic in its description. Instead, what we get is we get the short version. Right? Judgment is coming. You're going to be judged. You will not escape judgment because this is what you did. And when we just read it, to our eye, it says, okay, well, back then slavery was fine. Back then, you know, they threshed them with threshing iron. We don't really understand what that means without reading more into it. So all we get is a short version. And if we're not careful, we can read right past these verses without any thought, without any emotion, without letting God speak to us of why he is judging them. And, you know, if we were to ask tonight, we could probably all say we're guilty of sometimes looking at something in the Bible and just reading right through it, right? I mean, you get to the genealogies in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles and Nehemiah with names we can't even begin to pronounce. And, you know, sometimes, especially, you know, we're reading through our Bible in a year or we're reading through something that we're studying. If it doesn't really have to go with what we're reading or what we're studying, we tend to just read through it to get through it. But when we do it that way, we miss what God is trying to show us. And we do so without any thought or without any emotion. And, you know, again, we might be tempted to read quickly over these verses. You know, and the reasons are various. And this applies to any portion of Scripture, you know. We might read quickly over them because we don't understand what's all going on, right? We look at some words, we look at some names, we look at some places, and we think, man, I don't know what's going on here. Let me just read it to say I read it, and that's it. We don't understand what's going on. Or we think, well, this isn't happening to us, so why do we need to care about it? Or we might think, well, we don't know what it means to live in an unstable place where enemies and war occur regularly. And what it all boils down to is when we do it that way, what we're doing is we're taking God's grace for granted. Because listen, if you were an Israelite, or if I was an Israelite in 800 BC, we wouldn't have been able to quickly read over these verses without any emotion, without any thought, because we'd read these verses and we'd know exactly what God is talking about. You would have experienced the fear and even the effects of these neighboring nations and their sins and their crimes. You know, it's like when we get our prayer letter from our missionary to Israel, and he's relaying to us, especially last year with some of the bombings in Israel and some of the things going on in Israel. You know, it's something very different to read that in a prayer letter. And, you know, yes, we might feel a touch of sadness or, you know, a motivation to pray a little bit more. But the truth is, we don't understand what's going on over there. The truth is, it's not happening to us. The truth is, we're not waking up any given morning having to worry about, okay, is there going to be a bomb or a missile or a rocket that hits where we live today? It's far removed from us. Even though we read it in a prayer letter, it's far removed from us. But I guarantee you, for that Israelite that's over there living through it, it's very real to them. And that's what we're trying to understand here from Amos, is that it needs to be very real to us. Those who personally suffer loss, they always want justice. You know, maybe you can think of a time that you were treated poorly and, you know, you wanted justice. You wanted something to be made right. You wanted that person to realize that they were that you were very concerned about justice when you were sinned against. You know, it's a sad indictment that oftentimes we care much about justice when we're the victims, but less about justice when other people are the victims. And the reasons, again, there are many. Number one, you know, we're selfish by nature, aren't we? You know, sometimes we can't help but think about how it affects us. And that's to our detriment sometimes. We care mostly about ourselves. We don't love people sometimes the way that God loves people. And here we see that God was going to judge these wicked nations of Damascus and Gaza and Tyrus. And for the Israelite people, that was a good thing. Not because judgment was coming, but because finally the sin that affected them, it was going to be dealt with. And now next week, we'll see the last three nations of Edom and Ammon and Moab. And we'll see how it relates to our day and age and how we need to view the sin around us that affects us. But the challenge for the time being is this. Realize that sin always has a victim. Sin always has a price. Sin always affects somebody. It just doesn't affect you. It just doesn't affect me. It affects those around us. And let us try with everything that we have, with God's help, to look at people who are suffering and see people who are going through the effects of sin, and help us to love them like God loves them. And help us to take a message of, listen, someday judgment is coming. Someday, the Bible tells us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And, you know, so oftentimes, you know, again, we want justice. And we'll do anything to get that justice. We will, but we have to realize it's not our responsibility. Someone does us wrong, it's not our responsibility to get them back. It's not our responsibility to repay them that wrong. God will take care of it. God will deal with it. And when God says he will judge, he will do just that. He will judge. Let's pray.